It's good to see everyone this morning, and I have to apologize for that picture. I told them last night if word got back here that that would end my career with the Crockett Road Church. But anyway, I appreciate very much all of you being here today. It is a great, great day, and I just wanted you to know that I loaned Adam my white jacket to wear this morning. I don't know if y'all saw that or not, after that beautiful jacket he gave me last week. And I wanted him to have something to wear this morning. And anyway, it's a wonderful, wonderful day. We have so many guests in our audience this morning, and for that we're tremendously thankful. We do have a lot out, and I know several are making plans for the fellowship that will follow this one here in our auditorium. It's always good to have Joe and Sharon Hancock. And Joe, I want to thank you and the lovely band members last night for that beautiful outfit that you saw up there. But anyway, always good to have Joe and Sharon and their granddaughter Callie and her friend here this morning, and also Ray and Donna Franks, our dear friends from Louisiana who have come. And I hope you don't think any less of me after that last night. Gary and Sue Smith of Dallas, who have come so many, many times, and friends with them to be here today. Dr. Gorby and Dr. Salter, our dear friends. Always great to have your doctor in the audience just in case you get sick, you know. And I'm glad that they're here this morning. And also my sister Jan and her husband Bill are here this morning. And it's always good to have Jan here with us as well. And also Eddie Parker and his sweet wife that are visiting with us from Fort Worth and the Brownsville congregation. And we are just so glad, and I know that I've started naming names here and probably left out someone that's real, real important to me. And if I did, I'll try to. You know, when you get old, though, people will have a greater tendency to forgive you. Dale, it's good to have you all here this morning, too. Dale Embry and his wife. And, you know, you've often heard it said that everyone wants something. And really, when you think about it, it's true, isn't it? It is true. Everyone wants something. Why, we want to feel good about ourselves. Everybody does. I don't care who you are. I want to feel good about myself. We always want what's best for our family. We do. We want love and support and understanding from our family. But I want you to think this morning, what about the Crockett Road Church of Christ? What do you expect from this church? You know, over a period of 40 years as your minister, I have delivered over 4,000 sermons locally. And if you include gospel meetings and revivals and lectureships and special engagements, that number comes to 6,400 total. I've taught 6,000 Bible classes locally, including various other events. That total comes to over 7,500. And thousands have been baptized and have responded to the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ through those years at home and gospel meetings as well. I have performed over 500 weddings for couples, not only in this church, but other places and others outside the kingdom of God here. I have to tell you something. When Amanda was a little girl, I had left the house one morning, and I told her, I said, look, I've got to go marry this girl. And she said, but Daddy, you're already married. And I have counseled with thousands of people about various problems in their life, and we all have them. Whether there's problems in our marriage, whether there's problems with our children, problems financially, problems with other people in the church, or perhaps problems with those in the community. And, you know, I just got to thinking about all of that. No wonder I'm tired. You know, when Audrey and I moved here to Palestine 40 years ago, that really is what we look like, believe it or not. 40 years ago, on March the 27th, I think that's this, what, coming Wednesday, Tuesday? Today's 25th, Tuesday, yeah. And Tuesday. And we had a vision and a dream for this church. That's what the church looked like over there, by the way, on the right. Some of you remembered. I've been saying we had 12, we still have 12 people here now that were members when we came. Actually, we have 13. And that's amazing when you really stop and think about it. But when we moved here, we had a vision for the church. What we really felt the church could become with God's help. And that seems like it was only yesterday. But I want you to know something. That vision and that dream is just as alive and well now, even though many who shared that dream then, who served as elders of the Lord's church and deacons, have gone on to be with God. What I wanted for the Crockett Road Church of Christ then is what I want it to be today and what I desire it to be. I want to share with you this morning what I really believe that God wants the church to be, and whatever God wants the church to be, it is what I want it to be. I would tell you, first of all, that I would want the church to be strong in the truth of God. You know, we have a lot of proponents of error today in just about every arena of life. Jesus said that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8 and verse 32. And he said to sanctify them through thy truth, for thy word is truth. John chapter 17 and verse 17. The Bible says to buy the truth and sell it not. We are to be a people that are strong in truth. But do you realize that in order for the church to be strong in truth, that you and I must be strong in the truth as well? We must be, because we are the church. We are the kingdom of Almighty God. I want to plead with you, brethren, according to 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, Paul says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you." We must be a people that are true to the Word of God. We live in an age of change and compromise. We do. We have people talking about changes, and some of those changes are not good. I'm not opposed to change. You know what? I've seen a lot of changes in this church through 40 years of ministry here. I've seen a lot of changes, some good, some bad. Maybe more need to be made. But I hope there'll be good changes. I know one thing, that many of us sometimes want change for the sake of change, and that's not always good. And sometimes people want to compromise the truth on the altar of change. The truth must never, ever be compromised. I have always said it's okay to change the methodology. It's all right to change the method, but not the message. The message of Jesus Christ is just as pristine and beautiful today as it ever was. For Jesus said in the book of Matthew 24 and 35 that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. If you were to read the words of Jesus in the book of Matthew 24 and 35, you would find that to be true. Even regarding God's plan of salvation, do you realize that God's plan of salvation has not changed? We must hear the word of God. That's what God said. We must hear it. You cannot obey what you do not know. You cannot know what you do not hear. And so therefore Jesus sent preachers of the gospel into the world to proclaim that sacred and unadulterated message of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the message that we have endeavored to preach for over 40 years here and other places as well. We are to hear the word of God, according to Romans 10 and verse 17. We are to believe it with all of our heart. It's not enough to just hear it. A lot of people hear it, but few believe it. But I believe today, and Jesus taught in John 8, 24, "Except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sin, and where I go, you cannot come." But we understand that one must not only hear and believe, for the message has not changed. One must repent of his sin. In the book of Luke, the 13th chapter, verse 3 through 5, we find Christ saying, "I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." That message has not changed. It is still true. We must confess Christ with our mouth. For in the book of Matthew 10:32. Jesus said, "If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven." In the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, the word says, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And yet, that's not the end of it. For the message has not changed. One must be immersed or baptized in water that his sin might be removed. Stop and think about it. One must be baptized in water in order to attain the salvation that Christ procured at the cross. And when you stop and think about it, all of those things point to one thing, and that is the salvation that Christ gives us. And you can be just a Christian, and a Christian only. I tell people all the time, I just want to be a Christian. I'm not interested in being anything else. Just a Christian. And I hope that you are too. But I want the church not only to be strong in the truth, but I want to be the church. The church to be a place of encouragement and growth. You know, people ought to be able to feel encouraged when they come to worship. And not only when they come to worship, but we ought to be so close and so tight with one another that we can call upon each other, even away from the building. All of us want encouragement. I don't care who we are. We must remember, however, that there are others who are expecting that from you. Let me ask you a question. How much encouragement do you offer other folk? Sometimes we want to be on the receiving end of it, but few of us want to be on the giving end of it. And we get upset and we get uptight if people don't encourage us. But then I stop and think, well, how encouraging are we to other folk? Sometimes I get amused at people who go off and visit other congregations, like many of you have done here today. And sometimes people will rush out the door. They try to get out before everybody else gets out so they don't have to shake hands with anyone. And then they get in their automobiles and they drive home and they say, "That was a cold church." Well, you know what Solomon said? If a man would have friends, he must show himself friendly. And so if we want to have friends and if we want to feel encouraged, we must be a people that are offering that encouragement to others as well. For in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, the Bible says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." He said, "as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day approaching." Oh, how we need it. We all need encouragement. And our times of worship are so important. They are. You know, I think about worship all the time. I enjoy the fellowship that we have when we come together to worship. There is a common bond that is woven throughout this church like you will not see anywhere else. And I mean that sincerely. I would not have stayed here 40 years had I not seen that. Our times of worship are important. And Jesus in the 4th chapter of the book of John in verse 23 and 4 said, "But the hour cometh and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him, for God is a spirit," he says, "and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." You see, God placed a tremendous premium upon worship itself. What are we here for? Do you realize that we are not here to make our life our own? But we are here to give our life to God. We are here to worship Him, our divine Creator, and the one who sustains our breath and our heartbeat in our body. But thirdly, I want the local church here to be a place of peace and unity. I heard someone say one time, "You know, we ought to have a union within the church." Let me tell you something. There is a difference between union and unity. Now, you can take two cats, which I do not like. I don't like cats. But you can take two cats and you can tie their tails together and throw them over a clothesline and you have union. But you don't have unity. You see, unity is that ability that enables us to get along with one another when sometimes we find it extremely difficult to do. And the Bible says in the book of Ephesians 4 that we are to be a people united. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 makes the statement that we are to be a people that are united. Listen to Ephesians 4:3. He says, Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you have been called, with all lowliness and gentleness and longsuffering, bearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity in the Spirit in the bond of peace. We have to work at unity. It is not something that just naturally comes. It doesn't come in a marriage. I mean, honestly, if a man and a woman are going to get along, they have to work at it. Do you not? And all the men said, amen. But it's true with women. We all have to work at trying to promote that unity that we all desire. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14 and 15, Paul says, now we exhort you, brethren, to warn them that are unruly, to comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, to be patient toward all men, and see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Everywhere. You see what he's saying? We ought to be a people that are striving for unity. And by the way, in the 17th chapter of the book of John, Jesus, in verse 20 and 23, prays for unity. He says, neither pray I for these alone, he says, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world... You want to convert the world? Listen to it. He says, be one, be united, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given unto them, that they may be one, he says, as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, but that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Think about it. If we're going to change the world and we're going to become all one in Christ Jesus our Lord, then we are going to have to be a people that are united and a people that are promoting peace. Paul says, live peaceably among you as much as in you is. We must strive for peace. For Romans chapter 12 and verse 18 says, if it be possible... He says, as much as in you is, live peaceably with all men. But you know one thing I desired 40 years ago, and it's still something that I desire even right now. And I believe this church has it. And that is to have a good reputation in the community. And the reason I say that, if you were to go back to the early church in Jerusalem in the book of Acts chapter 2, did you know the Bible makes a startling statement here? And it's one that we too often overlook. We often isolate ourselves from everybody. But notice what it says. And the church had favor with all the people. We ought to be a people that endeavor to love others in the community. To love them. To love them. Isn't that what Christ did? Isn't that what we should do as well? I believe that it is. Jesus was one in the book of Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. The Bible says it grew in stature and favor with God and with man. Sometimes people look at our lives the way that we treat other people. It may be we go out to eat. It may be that we are shopping at Walmart and someone gets in line before we get there. And maybe they got a lot of coupons. You ever done that? And then you decide you're going to go down to the second checkout. And you get down there and they try to scan one of those items. And Adam, unfortunately, that happens too. The item didn't scan. And you're standing there and you're waiting on a CSN to come and try to help you get through this. And you see the lady over here that had all those coupons who's already gone through and somebody else has gone through. And here comes another one and you're waiting down there for someone to come up there to help you check out. You ever been through that? I'm sure you don't stand there and say, oh, it's all right. I got plenty of time. You are fuming. When will this be over? And they said, where you go to church? I say, First Baptist. You know, sometimes it's easy for us to tarnish our influence. I'll never forget, I had a neighbor, and this is, things that happened to us through the years, a neighbor that lived across the street from us. And I won't call any names who this is, but anyway, this man died. He was a heavy drinker. And anyway, he just drank all the time. And I had been a long time since I'd been over at the house. Well, we ended up finding this man dead in his bathroom on the commode. And we'll get away from all that. But the brother finally came down, and they were going through the house, and they were getting all these things together and everything. And so when I went in the den, man, I never saw so many beer cans in all my life. I thought I had stepped into Slitch Brewery. I mean, they were all bagged up. And he'd be, I mean, humongous things. And so anyway, the brother told me, he says, you know, and this is when Katrina had come through, the hurricane, you know what I'm talking about? And he said, you know what? He said, your church is taking up money for the Katrina victims, right? And I said, yes, I am. And we are. And he said, you know what I'll do? He said, you have a truck. I don't have one. He said, if you would not mind taking these beer cans down to the salvage place down here where they dispose of them, they pay you for them. He said, I'll be happy to give you the money. Well, being the entrepreneur that I am, I said, look, I'll be happy to do this for you. And so anyway, he loaded all those beer cans up in bags. I mean, they're on a pickup, and I'm not kidding. The thing went way above the cab. I mean, I thought, boy, if I drop these things on the road, you know. And but anyway, when I got down there, I was all the way driving down. I thought, boy, this, you know, this doesn't look good. I put on my sunglasses, and I actually put on a cap to look incognito. So I finally drive down there, and I pull up, and the guy looks at me, and I said, the Catholic priest asked me to bring these to you. Our reputation will be what we make it. And it depends upon each of us and our faithfulness to God in our everyday lives. It does. For Paul in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 7 through 8, says, so that you become examples unto all that are in Macedonia and Achaia, he said, who believe, he says, for from you the word of the Lord sounded forth not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. I hope that this community will know the faith and the love and the compassion and the friendship that we as God's people desire. The influence of this church has been strong through the years, and we have endeavored to look outward instead of inward. Because when we look inward, we begin to pick the flaws. We begin to find fault with each other. May God help us to be like that Jerusalem church again. In Acts 2 and verse 47, where Luke records they were praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. But fourthly, I want the church to grow in number. I do. I want the church to grow in number five. But in order for the church to grow in number, we must be active as Christian people and doing our part in the community as well. We must practice what Jesus said, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. And 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 7 through 8, the Bible says, listen to what he says, and so you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you again, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith has become known everywhere. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? People want to become Christians. They know of the faith of those of us who serve the Lord. But then last of all, I want this church. It was a desire I had 40 years ago, and it's still our desire. I want this church to be one that grows in love. Too often, the missing ingredient in most churches is that of love. It is. You know, the Kindles a number of years ago sang a country song. It was called Love Will Keep Us Together, and it is true. Love holds us together, doesn't it? It is the super glue of life. It is that bonding agent. Did you know the Bible calls love the perfect bond? It is a bond. It holds it. We sing that song, Lord, bless be the tie that binds. It is a bonding agent for all of us. And we must allow that love to grow for God, for one another, and even for the lost. For Jesus in John, the 13th chapter, verse 34 through 36, he said, a new commandment I give unto you. Listen to this. Nowhere in the Old Testament will you find that, but you find it here where Jesus said it. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. And by this shall all men know again that you are my disciples, if you love one another. It's true, we must be a people of love. And love must abound in God's church. For 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 9 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, and he that loveth not knoweth not God. Listen to that. For God is love. One of the greatest attributes, and no doubt the greatest attributes of the Almighty, is that God is loving. Sure, God is forgiving. God is kind. God is all-powerful. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He is omniscient, all-knowing. But the greatest, to me, the greatest attribute of Almighty God is the fact that God is all love. Love. It's so important that we love one another. And this was manifested, the love of God, toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. It is true. I wonder this morning if the truth were really known. Are we a people of love? Are we a people who honor God with our lives? We must continue to be that people. I hope that you and I will endeavor to be the people that God really wants us to be. I am convinced that the church has not reached the apex, if you will, or the plateau where God wants us to be. But I am convinced that God wants us to be a people that will grow and develop in our relationship with God and with one another. Maybe this morning you've been negligent in your relationship to God and to others. Just maybe this morning there are some things that need to be changed in your life. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, and I hope that all of us will reassess our lives and where we are. Maybe you're not a Christian, and maybe this morning you want to become one. Maybe you want to commit your life to Christ. Maybe you want to follow that plan of salvation that hopefully will eventuate in us being able to go to heaven and live forever there with our Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Thank you for 40 wonderful years. And I hope that God will continue to be good to us as we labor together and as we work for His common cause. As we sing our invitation song this morning, if there are those who need to obey God's gospel, will you come while we stand and while we sing?